Oh, hello.
All right, let's do this one last time.
Warning. Marvel and RMD contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended.
As I told you a long time ago.
Go fuck yourself.
I got invitations right here. Enough for everybody.
Are you ready?
I was born ready, motherfucker.
You Spider-Man, given a job to do.
I played the long game, Mr. Castle.
That's my secret, Captain.
On the roof!
So many snacks, so many to die. We're in the endgame now.
He looks like an asshole.
He's a criminal, that's who he is.
I am.
Well, that's just as fascinating as the first 89 times you told me that.
Bullseye.
What is up, everybody? We are back once again, Marvel on RMD, Move Night Edition on Rain Man Digital. Remember, however you found us, rate, review, subscribe. It helps out the show a ton. I am here this week with my son, Greg.
Hey, everybody.
And our mediator this week, the sitting between us, starting off on the show for the very first time, Mr. Michael Flores.
Hello.
David couldn't make it this week, so we had to find somebody else to keep us apart because of our restraining orders against each other. There has to be a third party involved in any show that we do.
It's the bring down the violence.
What type of debauchery is happening on this show?
Like, don't know?
Are you guys having some type of incestual relationship?
Well, no, he's my love child, and we really haven't talked in a while.
Yeah, I'm him and David's love child, so.
Yes.
Wow, that sounds extremely creepy.
Yeah. Yes.
the fact that it's run through every show has been amazing.
I'm going to keep it going for all six episodes. So we're on episode 4 called The Tomb, directed by Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead, written by Alex Meehan, Peter Cannon, and Sabriel, some other name I can't pronounce. So this week, I think was the best episode we've had so far.
Yeah, there was more meat to it than the other ones.
And I think, you know, we've joked about throughout this whole time about how the mainstream reviewers got the first 4 episodes, and this is why they said it was so strong, is because they got to see all this together. All this together.
Yeah.
It makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, they should have just dropped two episodes would have been great. If they had dropped the first 4, like, obviously, we wouldn't have enough to do a weekly show, but it would have been there. Like, I think you especially would have gotten way more
into what was going on. Yes. And I think for me, being like the newbie fan of it and learning it all this week with what they were doing throughout this episode, kind of solidified a lot of the characters, the backgrounds, and the mysticism and like the gods and everything came into it. And you're just like, I need to read a book on Egypt.
Right. Well, even still, like, even in certain parts, like I remember from history class in school, like them mentioning like little bits and pieces of this. And I'm like, oh shit. And then I'm like, but is what they're portraying 100% like factual, or is it a little bit of realism and a little bit of fantasy?
So Mike, since you're new to this, what is your, you know, the first,
what is your
episodes?
Knowledge of Moon Knight?
Yes, what is your knowledge of Moon Knight, and what is like your first like 3 episode experience have been? I know you've watched them kind of you know, as you can type of thing, and so I know you were a big Moon Knight guy. How has this been for you so far, this ride?
Okay, so the 4th episode that we're going to be talking about today, I agree, is the best episode of the season to date. And this episode actually is representative of how I have always viewed Moon Knight. This is what I've been waiting for them to do since the first episode, to get into the psychosis of the character and use it to tell the story through metaphor. That's was always a big part of the Moon Knight comic run that I had read when I was growing up. And because of that, that's what I had expected. And I was a little disappointed that we weren't really getting into his actual mental illness, his issues, because that to me was always the exciting part, him having to balance the supernatural with the psychosis. And the fact that we finally got there, it makes the series that much better for me. And maybe perhaps I should be a little more patient, because I was struggling a bit only because it didn't really feel like Moon Knight to me. To me, it felt like another Marvel series kind of doing the same beats. Like I've enjoyed it. But when you put this side by side any other Marvel movie or series, it kind of has the exact same beats.
Yeah. And we talked about that a lot last week. And
yeah, well, what I liked is when they were in the tomb, and then that sorcerer, that creature shows up, and it's more animalistic, mm-hmm. and it's just like it's a the fucking predator. Like they had like, tell me that they just didn't take the predator sounds like we're gonna tweak it a bit.
Yeah, let's slow it down just a little.
Right, tinge. Just you know, just so it's like,
yeah,
not.
Yeah, we need the 120 beat version, right. Not the 160.
And so you have that, which pulls into the darkness of the Moon Knight, like, universe. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say mythos, but it was probably both worked. But then you have, at the end, with the weird, like, almost flashback to the very, like, 90s Xena Hercules level TV show. Mm-hmm. And then, and David called this in the last episode. He said, oh, probably this week they'll introduce Jake. And I said something while I was watching it with my wife, and she goes, what do you mean? I go, because when they're running away and they find that third sarcophagus that's shaking, she's like, oh, that's his friend. That's the girl. I said, no, that's a third personality.
Okay, let's get into that whole ending, because I think the ending part of it where we go to the insane asylum kind of dream world or whatever he is in at this point after getting shot, it is like that holy shit moment that makes you want to jump to the next episode right away, because you're watching that and you see that sarcophagus shake, and I was like, holy shit, is every one of these rooms the different personalities and they're all fucking locked up in here? And you see like the embrace and you're wondering what is real and what isn't. You're like, he got shot, is this like a really a thing? And you're looking around, and I don't know if you guys noticed, but like the old dude that he was talking to on the well that never moved was in the scene.
Yeah,
like without his makeup on, and you're just like, is this in his head or is this real? Like, what is going on?
So what I think it is, and this is just, you know, me kind of spitballing and a little bit of knowledge of Egyptian shit, at the end the hippo god that shows up, I think that's the same god that the girl in episode like what, 2 or 3,
the love and music one.
Yeah,
yes,
I think that's her. So I kind of feel that they're in almost like a version of the Egyptian underworld or afterlife or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Because in episode 3, where he's like, tell Mark to save me when they imprison me, I think this is what it's leading up to. I think episodes 5 and 6 are going to be, 5 will be him getting Khonshu back. And then I think at the end, at midway through 5 or at the end of episode 5, Jake's going to make his appearance. And then the last episode is going to be kind of the big ending, or, you know, kind of the wrap up of this story arc and, you know, hopefully leave it open for something else.
I think you're right, Greg, about the whole underworld element. There's a little bit of, I guess you could say, a clue when Mark first wakes in the asylum.
Yeah.
And Ethan Hawke's character talks about inference, which is an actual system of philosophy. I believe it was Socrates. And he talks about how certain things are things to certain individuals. For example, he said, the pen is a pen for me. It's something I write with. To my dog, it's something entirely different. And there's a whole process of how you logically describe things in the world or realities that we find ourselves in. And I feel like the asylum is exactly that. So, for example, he's in the underworld and his version of the underworld looks like this, the asylum. It's within his mind. And that would explain why the personalities are in those
sarcophagus.
Yeah. So I feel like there's something there for sure. If you were listening to everything that Ethan Hawke's character was saying. Nothing is just thrown away in a TV show like this. And that's something that I really appreciated about the writing as well in this episode, because you have to pay attention to literally every word being said.
Well, and I think that's, you know, we've preached the shorter seasons. And I think that's what you get with the shorter seasons, is that everything is intentional. Everything you have to pay attention to. There is no pick up your phone moments here, because if you don't, you're like, what was that? What did I just miss? Where are they? What the fuck is going on?
Well, it's in those shorter seasons. They like every episode has to be on point in order for the next episode to continue properly. Or it'll just fucking lose it.
Yeah, that daisy chain is broke, and it's just like, you can't recover.
I think that's why this episode was so strong, because they, even though we might have had some issues per se, I guess, with the prior three episodes, they weren't as fully realized as how we would like. But we wouldn't have gotten, in retrospect, we wouldn't have gotten an episode like this without the groundwork that those three episodes laid out.
Well, and I always wonder, like, if we were to go back and like retro review things after we watched it, you know, I've said that on many episodes that we've covered across the network. It's, you know, this episode was good. It could be better based on the payoff down the road. Mm-hmm. And I think we're getting that with a lot of it, because I wasn't like last week I complained about the annoying tropes of like, oh, there's a shiny thing. He's probably going to talk to himself.
Yeah.
And this week it didn't bother me, because it was like, all right, well, they set it up a lot this week. This week, it didn't feel as forced, and we got those moments where he's talking and dealing with himself.
Him and Mark are going back and forth.
And again, what we see, and I can't say enough, is Oscar Isaacs is fucking excellent. You know, even we got a different version in the asylum of the, like, this dude that's just,
he played a doped up, crazy person very well.
Yeah. Like, no, this isn't it.
They, he had, you know, the you know, bottom lip just like, you know, going down like that one part and drool coming out. He's like, what is it?
You know, I don't think Oscar Isaacs has been given enough credit, partially because the roles he has done, when you look at his body of work, has mostly been mainstream, and typically the mainstream films don't really allow for those types of performances necessarily all the time. Like, for example, in Star Wars, he's going to play it straight. Star Wars isn't a type of film where you can really show your acting chops. Unfortunately, it's not designed for that type of material. So when you see something like what he's doing in this show, it is insane. It's an insane level of talent, because there are moments where the camera's on him, and when he switches to the other personality, you see the change in the fucking face as if he really is someone different, because his body language, his facial expressions, everything about his demeanor shifts with that personality.
Well, how talented do you have to be? And Mike and I have joked about this on phone, like, that this man goes from being the lead character to his own witty sidekick in the same fucking scene.
And then at the end of this episode, we get them both on screen at the same fucking time.
Yeah.
And what's cool about it is, and granted, there's somebody, you know, obviously standing in, you know, for when they were filming it, but it's seamless though, how he's
acting against himself.
Yeah. And even like when he pops out of the sarcophagi and he's like, oh, and like they're giving each other a fucking hug. Like I was expecting fucking Steven to fucking hit him. Like, you know, that's for like out in the fucking camp, you asshole. But, but like he does it so well. And then the episode, like the start of the episode and then to the tomb and everything else, everything, like the first three episodes, like Mike said, laid the groundwork. So we had to go through some, like, you know,
I won't call them growing pains. But
yeah, like they're just like the little ho-hums.
It's like the tutorial at the beginning of a video game
that you can't fucking skip.
Yeah, you're like, I don't care. I'll figure out how to jump on my own. And then later on in the game, you're like, I'm really glad they taught me how to do that triple jump, because I would have been fucked.
Right. And so you get that. And then this episode, I feel that this episode is where they're focusing on like the meat and potatoes of the rest of the story. Not like they can give us more now that they've kind of laid that groundwork. Yeah.
The other thing, you know, when we get back to the exploring of the tomb and everything that was going on in that those scenes. You know, we talked a little bit about the horror elements that were there, and, you know, huge kind of like Indiana Jones fan, and those kind of threw off those vibes of like, let's get through this.
Yeah.
You know, and using what is more practical type effects instead of like green screening the shit out of it. It looked like they were built sets, you know, which always gives it a better feel.
Well, and even, and what I liked even as well was that you got Steven kind of shining in this episode. Cause you know, every time he comes out and they start talking about like Egyptian stuff, like you, his Oscar Isaac's expressions of how excited is, you can tell like he's showing that the character really loves this stuff and is really into it, knows a shit ton. And when he's sitting there, like they're in the beginning of the tomb, in the beginning of the maze, he's like, oh, he's like, look at this. And he draws like the fucking eye of Horus.
How was that?
Look at this. Like, it's over here. And so it's the eye of Horus. Over here denotes the brain.
And this and is his wiener.
And this here that ends in a spiral as the tongue, which I like to put on your clitoris.
Wait, that sounds more like the guy that died. Who's that guy that died that likes animals? Remember he got killed by a stingray?
Oh,
Steve Irwin?
Steve Irwin. Yeah, that's who you kind of sound like.
Crikey, look at this dame over here. Watch me put my penis in her. Outback Steakhouse, where you can fuck the waitress.
What the fuck?
That was an early like 90s slogan that they did.
Yeah, they tried it once and it didn't work.
Prostitution and steak didn't go together.
Nobody could find out which one was the beef to fuck and which one was the beef to eat.
Oh.
They just knew they were serving beef curtains.
What? So foul.
Oh man.
But yeah, the whole like we've all seen Friends or ourselves nerd out on something, and that's what that scene was.
Yeah.
As he's drawing it, you're just like, fucking nerd. If I was into it, I'd be like, look at this. And I've probably shown, we've probably shown spouses or friends or family certain things. And they're like, why are you so excited about this comic book or this symbol or this music? I fucking hate it. I don't get it. You're a nerd. Go away.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's like my wife went during the AEW Revolution pay-per-view and CM Punk comes out to his old Ring of Honor music. And I start fucking flipping my shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, I hope he comes out in his old fucking ring gear. And she's like, how do you remember all this? And I go, I'm a giant nerd and autism. I don't like fucking, you should know this by now, but it's one of those things like where, like you said, it's something that you're really into and you show somebody like, cause you're excited and either they humor you and go, oh, that's awesome. Or they just look at you going, you're fucking stupid.
I honestly, my daughter comes home with stuff from school that she's super excited about. And it's like, it's fucking macaroni.
I'm using that later for dinner.
Yeah. Is that glue edible? Right. The other thing we get with the shorter seasons is that we don't wait too long for things to come to fruition. Like with the Layla conversation about her father, you were wondering how long that was going to last. Well, we know it's 6 episodes, so the shit can't wait too long. And that's what you kind of run into with some of the 23 episode because you
gotta
things.
Like with this, you've got to get it done before the ending, before the big shit happens. Because like episode 5 and 6, apparently, according to the mainstream reviewers, it's going to be fucking bangers, for the last 2 episodes, and this is like the episode. Like, all right, we got to deal with it in episode 4 because if we don't, it's going to fuck up 5 and 6.
Yeah.
So they dealt with it. They got it out of the way and they did it. They did it really well too. They didn't drag it out. They didn't have this whole long fucking conversation. She fucking goes, what happened? Did you kill my dad? No, I didn't fucking kill your dad. I tried to help him. Like explains the whole thing and then they're done. And then he gets shot. So he's like, I didn't do it. Fucking Haro shows up, bang, bang, shot him down. And then we get the insane asylum.
Yeah. So with that whole relationship is, but between them, like, is it a 3-way at this point? Are they in a menagerie?
Oh, yes. That would be kind of fun.
Like your multiple personalities. Like
they take turns, like while you're fucking, they each kind of come out like for, you know,
he's more sensitive. He's more rough.
Yeah, listen, they need to put together a dating app for people with schizophrenia and or multiple personalities.
Because Schizophrenicsmeet.com.
I think that'd be fun.
I love
fun.
You. Fuck you.
Listen, I want to date someone with like 50 different personalities, please.
It's a new age 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, just different flavors for every night, you know, or every 5 minutes. I mean, it will change consistently. Why not?
This bitch Robin, 31 flavors.
No, I don't want any male personalities, please, but they might try to fuck me, and I'm not into that.
You just don't know yet.
Okay.
Be open to things, Mike.
Don't knock it until you try it.
One of her personalities is a guy. You just come over. She's like standing there naked with a fucking strap on, like, get in here. I'm going to show you where the wild goose goes, bitch.
Well, it depends on how hot she is.
There's a rating of hotness whether I'm willing to put up with that. Unlike Thomas, who's all in.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Listen, he leaves no mystery. You know, you got to have that doubt there. Like, would I or would I not?
Yeah. With Thomas, no hole is forbidden.
Yeah, pretty much.
But when it comes to like the relationship between them three at this point, it is
it's weird because like you have Steven, who obviously does like her, and she's kind of digging on him because he's a sweet, sensitive man. And then you have Mark, who's the rugged type, who's just like, I'm going to be like, oh, I'm tough. Well, my penis. Yeah, you do.
Yeah. It's just kind of funny to me that Disney is actually going that route to where it's just like, you know, does one personality get mad at the other? It's like, she's cheating on me with me.
Oh, shit. Like, and how do you deal with that? Like,
that's not really cheating. Come on.
Does he have a mirror there, like, where he argues with himself? Like, and she's right there trying to explain. And they're going back and forth. Like,
it's all the same penis. It doesn't matter. Now,
he's on top of her. He's like, watch me fuck her.
Yeah. He's got the mirror. How's this, huh?
He cuckolds himself.
Yes. Self-cucking, the new category in Pornhub.
I mean, unless his penis, like, changes size with each personality, then it's all the same thing. Doesn't matter.
Personality dictates penis size.
Right. Mark?
I had thought that hippo was a personality at the end. And I'm like, oh, shit. Hopefully she doesn't fall in love with that one. That would be fucking going too far.
Fucking kill you at that point. Hippos are dangerous.
Yeah. I've watched Naked and Afraid. They're the most dangerous animal ever.
Right. But what's funny at the end when the hippo god shows up and that's it. It's like, oh, hi. And then ends. And that's been my, like, in every episode, this has always happened. When the episode just ends, like, we get to the end of it, and it just, and it's, without fail, I'm like, oh, fuck you.
Are they giving us credit sequences at all, or no?
No, I've watched to the end of all of them, just in case, because there's been one every season so far on Disney+. They haven't done anything. I've watched, and the French actor is excellent.
I watch in all different languages to make sure they didn't add anything for them.
Yeah. So no, there's been no after credit scenes, but where do we go from here at this point? Because he's basically left for dead. So we now are going to get into the gods, you know, so obviously.
I think next episode they're still going to be in the underworld, the Saint Asylum place.
Would you sit like an episode in there the whole time, or he's just trying to escape?
If that's all of episode 5, then episode 6 better fucking wrap everything up, because they're already in there for a good chunk of the end of this episode, and I feel that they can easily, you know, kind of end that in the first, you know, maybe 15-20 minutes of the next episode. But it's all how they do it, though. Because they have to go save Khonshu, and that's where I'm like, well, how are they going to do that if he's dead and they can't go into that meeting area or whatever? Mm-hmm. And
I can't imagine them staying in the asylum for the second to last episode of the season.
I understand. That'd be weird, right? It is, but it's more of a want thing for me, because I would just like to see like how it is and the reality, and then more of the acting between him and Ethan Hawke, like doing their thing, going back and forth in that personality. And those type of scenes are excellent to watch. Mm-hmm. And again, I know I preach shorter seasons, but man, I would really like to see this. And then him to start doubting in his head, like, what is real and what isn't.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with you with possibly getting... I think we should have gotten more episodes, honestly, because I feel like, okay, so we're ending, we just closed in on, we're moving into episode 5. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the story is just getting started. It's just getting good. And we only have 2 episodes
and
left.
See, that's why, like, before we did the show, and I was saying, how did you guys hear that they're saying it's going to be a limited series, and it's they're saying right now it's one it's only going to be one season.
Yeah.
But yeah, they need to either do like a movie or they need to do another short run season, because like you said, Mike, they were closing, we're going into episode 5 next week, and there's, from the way this episode ended, there's still a lot for that, like that they're going to do. Mm-hmm. Cause like I said, they haven't introduced Jake yet, or they kind of did in this episode, but he's not there yet. He's not fully awakened, I guess. And so that's gotta come out in the next 2 episodes. They've got to free Khonshu in the next 2 episodes, and then also get out of wherever they're at, and then save Layla, stop Haro.
Midnight Man was introduced. Like,
there's so much shit that they're doing.
I think that's my only complaint, Greg. We have 2 episodes left. Everything you're bringing up is 100% accurate. There's a lot of things they still need to do. There's a lot of moving parts. Also, we have not really been given an all-out action extravaganza with Moon Knight.
But see, I think that's going to be episode 6.
Yeah, and that needs to be. That's what I'm saying. Like, but there's also all these moving parts, because I'll tell you right now, if we end the season, I don't care how great the story is, when it comes to Marvel Comics and it's a superhero type of show, you need to give us these moments. And so far, we haven't really had that definitive Moon Knight action sequence. They've all been at what, a total maybe 5 minutes of running time, and it's for the most part they've been placed at the end of the episodes.
It's about that.
So I feel like we are owed at least a full episode of just fucking balls to the wall action.
Yeah, I feel that's what episode 6 is going to be, because I went back and I started reading the Charlie Huston Moon Knight run again, because that was the run that I got into Moon Knight with. And the first issue itself is, anytime he's in the suit, it's a flashback. And then the rest of it is him drunk as shit asking Khonshu to make him a hero again, to fix his legs and, you know, let him be a hero again. But he's also drunk and he's like doubting himself that he ever was a hero. So I kind of feel like they took a cue from that, where they didn't just put him in every episode, and that they sprinkled him in throughout the episodes. But it's getting to the point where now they've got to wrap up some story elements, and then they've got to give us that big showdown fight.
Yeah. So you agree that we definitely need to see, like, what about you, Bob? Do you agree as well? Do you think we need to have that
for somebody that doesn't understand what the fuck is going on? Yeah. Like, I still don't like Mr. Knight sticks and everything else. Like, there's so much going on that it's just like, oh, what do I do with these? Like, yeah, you know,
that's like when I found out it was a one season. It was, they would be like, oh, it's going to be only one season. And I told my uncle, that's fucking bullshit. I go, this is one of the only fucking shows that they've put out in the Marvel universe besides like WandaVision and Loki that I've been stoked about.
Yeah.
I couldn't watch Falcon and Winter Soldier. I couldn't. Mm-hmm. Too many fucking awkward scenes. And I was like, fuck this. We get it. You're the Falcon. Like, ooh, like you're helping your family out and this shit and that. And everybody's like, oh my God, it's the Falcon. We fucking get it. I don't need any more of these awkward ass scenes. Like, in him, like talking to people and then like blowing him. Like, just give me
this. They blew him in that.
No, but
that would have been,
that was in the French one.
Yeah. That was in the French. Les Falcons Winter Soldier. Give me your black French fries, hunger for it. But I just couldn't get into it.
Welcome to our show, Mike.
Oh my God. I think I could listen to Greg do a terrible French accent forever. Best thing I've ever heard.
And Captain America, you know, Captain America slash U.S. agent was in Captain America. He was just, oh, look who comes here. Captain Asshole come to spread his freedom. Piece of shit. Puh. There's your freedom, you asshole.
But so this is the one that you're
This is the one I'm like, oh, I can't fucking wait. Like, I'm stoked about it. And I'm, man, he's like, even before they announced it was a limited series, I was like, oh, shit. Like, I wonder how this is going to end and how they're going to fucking roll it into season 2. And they're like, Moon Knight, only going to be a limited series. The fuck is this shit?
Do you think they throw that limited series out there just to cut down the expectations for people? Because limited just means I don't have a plan for it now.
Well, you know, Loki was also initially
a limited, and then they did the after credit scene that extended it to the second season.
Yeah, but that's my thing is
this isn't the last we've seen of Moon Knight.
I don't think it is, because they're gonna leave something open at the end of episode 6. Like they're just going to. There's
this
no
is
way.
Just a foundation. That's how I'm looking at it, especially if you go by what, I don't know if you guys got into that article that I was talking to you about, Greg, before the show.
I didn't see that one. I just saw where they were talking about that, and they talked about how like WandaVision.
Yeah. So this article,
Hawkeye were limited series as well.
The article alluded to the fact that Oscar Isaacs is the one that didn't want to be chained to a contract like so many of the Marvel actors have been, because he wants to go do other things as well. And because of that, he made a deal with Disney that this is what he's signed on for, but he doesn't want to be contracted to do more. However, let's play it by ear is what he said. If this goes over well with the fans and I really like the end product, then there will definitely be an open line of communication to possibly do more of something, either a TV show or to start putting him into various films.
And see, I mean, I hope he's happy with the end product, because he's.
Yeah.
Been fucking awesome this entire series. Like, even in the beginning where I was like, why is he doing a shitty fucking British accent?
It doesn't
bother
you anymore.
No, because now it makes sense. And it's actually gotten better throughout the episodes.
Yeah, well, that's definitely what we want, right?
I think your accent.
Yeah, thanks.
Has it got better?
You gotta encourage people, Michael.
Well, it's not like his career. I mean, is it? Do you do parodies?
No. I'd like to just, I've been told I should do voiceovers, but I don't know how to get into that shit. So, and then I'm sure if somebody does any research and they hear my shit on here, that's it. Fine. Yeah.
We really like your Nazi voice, Greg. We're hoping you can narrate this
World War II documentary.
This,
God damn it.
This new Audible version of Mein Kampf. Oh my God. Is that what it's called? Mein Kampf or something? What's it called?
God damn it.
I always forget the name.
Mein Kampf.
Mein Kampf, yeah.
Mein Kampf.
Mein Kampf.
Minecraft.
Yes, Minecraft. He's going to narrate Minecraft.
Hello. This is former Colonel Hans Landemann. Welcome to Audible. This book is presented by Penguin Publishing House.
That's pretty good, actually.
Mein Kampf by Adolf Hitler.
Heil!
Sorry. Old habits. Die hard. Chapter 1. It was a blue. It was a good summer morning in Germany. I was outside painting. My father showed up, told me I'd never amount to anything, as in kicked me in the teeth. That's when
Did you actually memorize that book?
Fuck no, I'm making that up. I will never touch that book. I will never fucking read that book. If I ever see that book, I'm fucking burning it.
He's just trying to make sure everyone knows that he's not actually
like a disclaimer at the bottom of the fucking screen.
Yeah, that's like a racist person saying, "I don't like racists. I will punch a racist in his face." Also, black people too. I'll punch them, but definitely a white person who's racist.
So, when we look at like the reception of the episodes, this one is actually the highest rated one that's come out so far,
because it's everything it needed to be.
Yeah, I mean,
it literally is Moon Knight. Like when I think Moon Knight, I think of an episode like this.
And I think the like you said, the groundwork of episodes 1 through 3, that, you know, and I'm not sure, Bob, you're looking at the ratings, I'm assuming, like, was it going up each episode, or was it kind of
episode 3 dipped down a little bit? You know, the positive reviews based on Rotten Tomatoes, it looks like it was a 95, 94, down to like a 90, and now it's at 100 for this a day after. So,
but that's, I mean, I understand, because like episode 3 wasn't really like action. Like it wasn't.
Yeah, because nobody likes to watch a bunch of guys stand around a tomb fucking talking about stuff. You know, they don't understand what's going on. So it's just like, you know, there was no Moon Knight fight. He's in a statue.
Hmm. Well, this was a nice episode, I guess.
So, but this, again, if they were to stay on this route for Moon Knight as like the future, like this adventurer type thing of what's going on and getting into more of the personalities and like the psychosis, the insane asylum type things of what's going on in his head, the introduction of the third character, like we assume is just going to happen next week because that's what that sarcophagus was.
Well, that's, I mean, that's, I mean, they've already hinted at him in episode two or three, where,
and I still think he was in episode one for the blackout
scenes. Yeah. Where like Mark's like, Steven, what did you do? And Steven's like, I didn't do this. And Mark's like, I didn't do this. And it's like that third personality is sitting there like, I did this, but I'm not saying anything yet.
It was this guy.
Right. It's like, I don't draw attention to myself, guys, but that's what I like to call the old stabby, stabby, circly, circly.
You know, when you black out and you poop your pants, that's me.
And you wake up with a bunch of bodies and a pair of undies full of shit. Yeah, that was me. I went to a little Mexican hole after I killed all these guys. So.
Nothing like killing makes me want to get tacos. I think we have a setup for an explosive ending here.
Yeah. We fucking better, because the way this episode ended, the way it built everything up, if episode five doesn't continue with that... It's
going to be one of those things. Like you said, the end of this episode five will be him getting the costume back.
They have to. There's so much that they have to do. Like, and then
it'll be like the three powers combined can get the costume back.
What it's like that they're the fucking Triforce.
Yes,
they have goofy, angry, murdery.
the new doors for right?
for the reboot of Snow White.
Yeah.
Snow White, Snow Wife.
Snow Wife is a porn.
hi ho, hi ho. We're gonna work this ho.
That's a lot of hoes. I really believe that we are going to something that's probably gonna blow our minds. Like, because we didn't get a lot of it this episode, a lot of the stuff that was done. And I don't know if Mike would understand this more, because for covering CW shows, we always used to have like our budget shows that were like, okay, we're going to do things with lights and things like that instead of big time effects.
We're going to be in one location, one set.
Yeah.
That's it.
And I think we had that here, to where it's like, okay, we saw it a little bit earlier with the storage scene, where they, you know, like flick the lights off and on real quick, and it'll scare everybody. And
right.
This episode had those. So I think we're going to get to this end scene. I'm super excited about it going forward. I want this to be something that continues on, whether it is a movie
or another series.
Because I almost hate the fact that like Marvel lays out their plans so far out in the future, that it's just like, you know, I think there's one or two untitled Marvel projects that they haven't announced. But the fact is, it's like, oh, OK, Doctor Strange, you know, Miss Marvel, the Marvels, like all those things are laid out till Blade and Fantastic Four in 2096. So it's just like, when are we getting these things? We like, they need to ride the momentum of that they're getting with this character somehow, way. Even maybe shit, put him in fucking Doctor Strange for some odd reason, that it's a multiverse thing. That
have him and him and Blade show up at the end at the ending credits scene.
Oh please, I would be so happy.
Oh no, I'm waiting for them to fully introduce Blade, because that. I've been torturing my wife by watching the Wesley Snipes ones, because they put them all on Netflix.
What do you mean torturing her? Those are amazing movies. How dare you?
She's not a...
Mike has a vampire tattoo on his waist, just like Ryan Reynolds.
I'm a familiar.
I got out.
Isn't that what they're called, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no. So I watch those films when I'm drawing or painting or whatever. And so I've watched them like, I don't know how many times each. And she's like, I like the first one, but the other two, she's like, I just can't get into them.
The first one is damn good.
Oh yeah, and then two and three are just like two.
I think the second one's good too.
Yeah, the two, I like the way they redo the vampires.
The third one's just,
and then the third one's just for fucking pure laughs.
Yeah,
and that's it. There's they could easily have just not put that movie out, and bam, Blade, good two films.
And I'm very anxious to see if what's the name of the actor playing the new Blade.
It is
Ali something.
Alibaba.
No, Prince Ali. I forgot his name, but I love that actor.
Like Mahershala Ali.
Yes, he is an amazing talent. So I've been anxious to see what he does with the role. And it's been what didn't they announce that 3 years ago now, Bob? That they announced this Blade. that they're going to be working on.
Yeah, it was because it was originally a TV show, then they moved it to the movies.
Yeah, I'm not one of those fans of Disney Plus, whether it be Star Wars or Marvel, that likes to over speculate about things that may be included, because then I just get disappointed, you know, when I try to blow something up in my head. But listen, I can't lie and pretend that I'm not anticipating some darker side of Marvel character being introduced before it ends.
Yeah, well,
they got to start building out that world. There has been rumors and outright statements made by Disney themselves saying that this is what they're doing, and yet we're still sitting here waiting to see what they do.
The funny thing is, with when you talk about building out the universe, the thing about when you deal with some of the characters that they're introducing now. So with the Loki series, you're kind of, okay, cool, we're building out the multiverse. When we deal with everything else other than this show, we're building out the space part of the world, because we're not fighting on Earth. So where does Blade and Moon Knight fall into Marvel's plans? Because when you look at the phase four, it's, you know, multiverse, Thor, Black Panther, Captain Marvel 2, Guardians, Blade, Quantumanium, Fantastic Four. Space, 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 space. A black guy with a sword.
Hey, listen, that could fit anywhere. That sounds cool.
But it wouldn't be hard for them
can
to
we cut out that'll fit anywhere.
Yeah.
Please.
A black guy with a sword is like the coolest thing. Like, you're doing it. They're going to sell that script.
Is he part of the Wu-Tang Clan? I hear they do a bunch of them films.
Yeah, see? I would go for that too.
RZA as Blade.
I'd buy it.
I'd buy it.
Yeah. I did the soundtrack for, I think, two or three of the films.
Yeah, I mean, and also, I did watch RZA's Kung Fu film, and I actually bought it. And
that movie's legit, dude.
Yes, no,
don't feel guilty about that.
Oh, no, I don't feel guilty. It's a fucking love letter to fucking Kung Fu films.
That movie is amazing.
The opening, when I saw it and it had the opening where it had the traditional Shaw Brothers intro, I was like, this is going to be amazing. Like
purchased.
Yeah, it's still in theaters. I'm already buying it.
You went and bootlegged it right off the bat. Thank you, China.
Yeah, I did. I downloaded it because I had to watch it again and again.
But like I said, when we go to look at the future of it, you always wonder how these characters are going to fill out. And now that the fact that, like I said, they have everything announced basically to the end of like 2024, when will we see Moon Knight again and how will we introduce it?
Well, I mean, you could easily see him in Blade.
Okay.
You could bring him up in, I mean, Fantastic. You can, if they do it right, you can bring him up any of the other stories, but Blade would be the easiest. Like, that's the one that makes the most sense, is to have him show up somewhere in Blade.
Now, mm-hmm. Some of the vampire lore in Marvel does veer into the Egyptian mysticism as well in different storylines.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they could intersect them theoretically with Moon Knight. I mean, it's definitely feasible. Because, Bob, you make a good point. Like, where does a black man with a sword fit into space, space, space? That's why.
Yeah, they already got one black man in space, and Samuel L. Jackson doesn't want to share.
So, where this is the only
space
property.
Space is my place, motherfucker.
That's not a very good impersonation.
I wasn't really trying.
Well, now you have to try.
Oh, shit.
Go ahead. perform on demand?
No, he's not on demand. I just let him kind of do his thing.
Oh, well.
Can't you just put a
Nick Fury, what do you think of Blade? I'm sick of these motherfuckers getting on my goddamn ship. I don't. Yeah, see that? It's. I can't.
You sound like a black female from an 80s sitcom.
Oh, perfect. I watch a lot of 80s sitcoms. Yes, so.
It's Shaniqua from In Living Color or whatever.
Shanae.
Shanae. Yeah. Shanae.
La Fonda.
Anyway. I want to see this closed out in the most spectacular way. But I also want it to continue because I am like falling for this character.
Are you really, Bob? Really? Because you were not really all about it that first episode.
But you can't sit because there was nothing in the first episode.
I think that's awesome. That is winning you over. That's cool.
But it, you know, I'm also probably one of the most open-minded hosts that we have, that I will sit there and give things an opportunity and not just be like, oh, this is shit. I'm going to turn it off. I mean, how much crap TV have I watched over the years just to be like, all right, well, no, I gave it a chance. It's shitty. this isn't shitty because it's striking like all those things of like my childhood and everything else that I like. We have a superhero. We have fucking Indiana Jones. We got ancient Egypt and mysticism and gods and everything else. It's like, what is there not to like?
Right. Well, even when Steven got to the tomb, when he got to the room, the coffin room, and he goes over and he's sitting there and he's like, no, this isn't right. He's like, that's ancient Babylonian. No. And he fucking moves and he's like, Alexander the Great. And this whole thing, like his excitement, you're like, yes. Cause it's like when you watch Indiana Jones as a kid and especially, you know, The Last Crusade, like when he goes, you know, to pick the Grail, and it's that whole like intense where you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Is he going to pick the right one?
The penitent man will pass. The penitent man deals for God and he rolls.
Right.
Like I remember that shit. Jehovah spell with an I.
And then, you know, and then also too, you've also kind of got that a little bit of a, I mean, I loved the National Treasure movies.
I love National Treasure too. I was going to bring that up, but I was afraid people would make fun of me.
I don't give a shit. I love those films. Fucking Nicolas Cage is a shit.
You can find my massive talent review now out. Critique Revolve.
Oh, perfect. And they and they kind of have that like where he has the little statue of Ahmet and he's like waiting around, like, look what I got. And he like hides it real quick. Like, I don't got it. Mm-hmm. Like looking away in like Harold's like, sorry. Bang.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think we are at a good point right now in this season. You know, and there is an excitement, I think, from all three of us. And I'm assuming that wherever David is doing today, he probably has that same excitement going on.
Yeah. He's probably already watched it 20 times.
Oh, yeah. That's why he couldn't get here because
he was busy rewatching it
in French.
Barr's really not sick. He just wanted to rewatch it a bunch of times.
Yeah. In all the languages.
Because he's trying to pick out all the Easter eggs, too.
Yeah. He's
zooming in on each on each of the statues to see if one of them is a Apocalypse or.
Blade Sword was like in there somewhere.
You know, or you know, Mr. Sinister is one of them, and
there was an X-Men.
Yeah, you know, it's probably what
I thought really Wolverine was going to be in that coffin.
Thank God you let me out.
Couldn't fucking breathe in here. You've been smoking in there. What else am I supposed to do?
That cigar's just been burning the whole time.
Right, just in there.
This is how the X-Men will be introduced. So in the psychosis of his head while they're in the insane asylum, Professor X will reach out because Moon Knight is really a mutant in this world.
And see, if you also notice in scene 76 frame C that you see in the asylum when the lights are swinging, you will see Professor X roll by telling him to get fucked and get out of there.
The lights are swinging because Magneto was trying to free him and he was pulling the metal.
Oh, that's so gross. Sounds so icky.
The voice between me and Bobby just gets worse and worse.
It's so disgusting sounding.
It's just so bad.
Anything else we want to talk about this episode before we take a break and get to our final reviews?
I think we fit it.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break real quick. We'll be right back. Like how that's my go-to nerd voice. And it just gets sloppier and sloppier the more spit that gets in my mouth.
God damn it.
All right, we are back. Remember, you can go to our Patreon, patreon.com/Rain Man Digital. You can pledge $1. You can pledge $100. You can pledge $1,000 if you want. It'll help us out a ton so we can continue to do content for you like nerdy Marvel people praying
and
for X-Men.
Wrestling.
But Mike said we can do wrestling whenever we want. I don't know if he just wants us to wrestle or actually do a show, but we'll figure that out.
Oh, later. I thought you guys were going to wrestle
for
yourself.
Patreon content.
Yeah, I thought this would be like oil wrestling. I thought that's what you guys were pitching me on.
Oh, yes.
It's an actual podcast. Well, no, on the podcast.
Oh,
but if you guys want to physically wrestle nude, then that's something I could definitely market.
Didn't you just see nude wrestling in The Northman?
Yes, I did. It was very uncomfortable.
Oh, so you want more on the network?
Listen, I'm just thinking of the listeners and what they're into.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not you.
I'm a sellout.
You don't make it, don't you, kids? Get in the oil and wrestle.
Yeah, you always want to be famous, right? Now's your chance.
Now strip. What?
Creepy. That's how I got my job on the network.
Oh.
That's not how you interview?
Don't say that. People are going to... This is going to come back to haunt me like in 5 years. I'm going to get canceled. Remember that one time Bobby accused Mike of sexual harassing him and requiring sexual favors in order to be on the show?
It was a joke. No. There's some truth there.
Yeah.
I heard the hurt and I heard the pain in Bobby's voice.
He made me sign an NDA.
Quit saying that.
Wouldn't I be violating an NDA saying you made me sign an NDA?
Yeah, but then I couldn't go after you because I would look like I'm trying to silence you.
Well, you know.
And then I'd look like...
I'm a smart man. Anyway.
Anyways.
Mike, go first since you're new.
I really enjoyed this episode. And now I have enjoyed all the prior episodes as well. Although this definitely, without a doubt, is the best episode of the season. And I don't know if that's fair to say necessarily, because in order for this episode to even hit the way it did is because of the work the other three did. But it goes to show you that the writers of this show, they have a strategy and they also actually know how to write television, which is something that we talk a lot about on this network. There is an epidemic, it seems like, of a lot of TV shows being written by people who don't fully understand how to write television. And that's not the case with this. I've been pleasantly surprised to see how each episode is set up. So I am falling in love with this show, I guess you can say, more and more. And we only have two episodes left, which disappoints me slightly. So. And I'm going to give it a 88%.
Greg?
This show was darker and a little bit grittier than the previous ones, but there's so much going on in it. They presented so much that I'm excited for episodes 5 and 6, but I'm also sad because those are the last two fucking episodes.
We only have episode 5 and 6.
And I feel like I'm going to go back and rewatch this just so I can still get my Moon Knight fix until they announce, you know, something else with him. But I loved the end of it in the asylum. That was amazing. The way everything was led up to that was just awesome. And each episode has gotten, for me, it's gone. It's just been nothing but a constant rise. So for me, I'm going to have to give this, a 95. That is just, for me, it was awesome.
Cool. I'm going to kind of almost split the difference. I'm going to give it a 90. It's by far the best show we've seen so far. Mike, you are 100% correct. If I didn't have the foundation of the first three, 4 would have been a good episode, but it wouldn't have made sense. So the setup and everything is going well, and that's why I think that this season is done properly. As much as I make fun of the formula, it's a formula for a reason because it works. And if you do the formula well, you put the right pieces in there, it doesn't matter. It's a formula. They get over, you get heat, you have a spot, you do the finish.
Yeah.
That's classic wrestling.
You go in, you work the crowd, you get your heat.
It's the formula, and the formula's working here. Did I give a score?
No, you didn't give a
90. Okay, that's what I thought. I wasn't sure. I went on a rant.
I thought you were talking about the cumulative.
Yeah. No, I'm getting there.
Math, not so good.
Yeah.
Phone, help out.
Yes, phone, help out.
But no, it's going to be it's going to be interesting to see where Marvel goes from here. Not with just the shows they announced, but any of the unnamed
things. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, 91. I got it. I was letting him finish.
So. You know, because like I said, they could easily put him in Blade. He'd easily already be in Multiverse of Madness.
It doesn't matter what he's in, as long as
they give us more.
He gives us more because they've set up a character that you can see being a tentpole of the next Marvel phase.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're looking for here because, look, I don't give a shit about Thor. Don't give a shit about Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, I give a shit about them, but they're nothing that, like, would make me need to.
Yeah, you've already gotten your taste of them. It. So you're not yearning for it. You're not like, I want more because you're like, oh, we're going to get more Thor. Okay, whatever. Cool.
I'll go watch it. Cool. But it's nothing that's like, oh, more Thor. Okay. Moon Knight. It's like, oh, it's Moon Knight. What the fuck are they going to do with him? Type of thing. I know what I'm going to get from Guardians. I know what I'm going to get from Thor. I know what I'm going to get from Spidey. I know what I'm going to get from Doctor Strange. That's why these new characters to me are so intriguing, because It is that unknown.
Yeah.
It is the different. It isn't the last 20 years of movies. Nope. And so
it's like, you know what you're going to get with Fantastic Four? Disappointment.
Oh.
I have nothing for those films, so.
There is nothing for those films. It's always somebody else's fault. While we figure out whose fault it is, remember you can go to RaymanDigitalMedia.com and listen to all our shows because we review tons of stuff. Greg didn't mention Otaku once this episode, so I'm going to do it for him. So you can go find us out there. We do all kinds of shows, and we will talk to you next week.
What? Okay, shut up. Shut the fuck up!